Good morning, everyone. So here's a question for you. Who has been watching the Habs and the run in the NHL playoffs? There you go. Wait a minute, let me rephrase that. Who hasn't been watching the Canadiens in a run to the NHL playoffs, Stanley Cup Finals? Well, there's a lot of us watching. And that's what us, the Argentinos, have been doing. We've been gathering around at my son's house and watching all of the series. From against Toronto, falling behind two games and coming back, sweeping the Jets that we were not supposed to sweep, and this amazing series against the Vegas Knights, and now the Tampa Bay Lightning. Now, I know this is not what we hoped for, falling down by three, but it's not over. But it has been great. It's been really good hockey. I remember back in 93, when the Habs had won the cup, I was the official repair guy for Le Bleu Blanc Rouge. And I had the privilege of being in the dressing room in the old forum for every home game and every practice. It was quite a time. And the energy and the excitement was front and center, just as it is today. Now, I remember going up to the old forum to drop off those final repairs for game five. I remember driving up Atwater, and the sense of anticipation was so thick that you could cut it with a knife. And we won that night, 28 years ago, on June 9th. So this got me thinking, wouldn't it be great if we had that much excitement and anticipation, knowing that next Sunday we have a special homilist? We are going to have Jesus of Nazareth himself. He hasn't preached in 2,000 years, and he's coming here to St. Ignatius. Sorry, Father, we're going to put you on the sidelines for another week. This is what's going to happen. You're going to put your TV screens outside. You're going to invite your friends and neighbors to watch. There's going to be a big screen outside the church because there's going to be about 2,000 people out there. And we're going to have a lottery to see who can come into the church to have a pew, to be front and center, to meet Jesus in person preaching here. I think that would be an awesome experience. Wouldn't it? I would love to see that. But unfortunately, that is not the life of a prophet, even if your name is Jesus. Because today's story, Jesus does go back to his hometown in Nazareth, and he does give a homily in the synagogue on the Sabbath. At the beginning, the town people are amazed. They are astonished at the wisdom in which he speaks and the power of the miracles that they heard he was performing. They're even more amazed because they think they know who Jesus is. He's a carpenter, the son of Mary and Joseph, and they know all of his relatives. They grew up with him. And because they think they know him, they refuse to accept him. They only see the outward person, and they do not listen to his words. They had already made up their minds a long time ago about him. So many people in our society have made up their minds about Jesus. They presume that they know who he is, and they know the whole story about Jesus. And what they reject is often not the real Jesus, the Jesus of the gospel, but some distortion that has found their way into their thinking. It's what we call the danger of familiarity. They do not hear the message because they are blinded by familiarity of a person. It's the perfect example of that saying, that familiarity breeds contempt. not just boredom, but contempt. Think about it. We are not much different than the people of Nazareth. The same thing can happen to us. God is constantly speaking to us through people we know, through things that happen to us, through situations in which we find ourselves again and again. We do not recognize his voice, his message, because he is speaking through someone we know very well, or someone we just don't like, or someone who's a total stranger or a foreigner. Because of the blindness of the people of Nazareth, we are told that Jesus was not able to do any great works there. How often do we block out God's love and healing power because we refuse to recognize him in a particular person or situation? Yet it's precisely in this person or that experience that he's trying to reach us. Then Jesus makes this sad comment on his own townspeople. A prophet is only despised in his own country, among his own relatives, in his own house. While other people, place where he's greeted, they hang on to every word that he says. There's great enthusiasm. But the townspeople, his own family, they treat him with cynicism. I know how that feels within my own family. What do I know? I'm just this snot-nosed kid that they grew up with. And I've been called a lot worse. I have lost friends over my call to be a deacon, a prophet of the Lord. They say a prophet's lot is not a happy one. And it's an experience all prophets must be ready for. Remember, a prophet is a person who has been commissioned to proclaim God's message, to invite people to know God's word, to urge them to redirect their lives and base them on truth and love. Traditionally, prophets, both in the Old and New Testament, have met with great resistance, hostility, even violent death. And we have the perfect example in today's first reading from Ezekiel. He has been called to proclaim God's message to his people, and God does not promise him an easy time. I am sending you to the Israelites, to the rebels who have turned against me. Whether they listen or not, this set of rebel shall know that there is a prophet among them. It is strange that a message urging truth, love, justice, freedom, and peace arouse such opposition, hostility, hatred, and even violence. But it happens all the time. Because in many parts of the world, words like truth and justice and freedom are seen as dangerous and threatening. Strange as it may seem, there are people who do not want to hear them. And more Christians have died for their faith in these enlightened and civilized time than any other. Martin Luther King died for promoting equality for all human beings, irrespective of their race. Mahatma Gandhi died because a Hindu was friendly with a Muslim. Bishop Oscar Romero died because he denounced the exploitation of the poor. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer died because he attacked the racist evil of Nazism. And the list can go on and on. We are called to be prophets. It's something each one of us needs to be reminded. Every one of us, simply because of our baptism, has been called to be a prophet. Last week, I had the absolute privilege of baptizing my grandson, Zachary. And when it came time to anoint him with the oil of chrism, let's say I was extremely generous with the anointing. We are anointed as Jesus is, as priest, prophet, and king. And that anointing comes with a responsibility. We have been called to spread the message of the gospel in our families, in our workplace, among our friends, in our society. Whatever is happening, we have to be ready to proclaim and defend truth, love, justice, freedom, people's rights, and dignity. There are some things over which we cannot compromise. There are some times that we cannot keep silent. And that includes when our church is guilty of such sins. I have been deeply saddened and angry at my church right now. I focus on Christ and Him crucified to allow me to bring me some peace. But we must speak about it. Even in times that we might be afraid or we feel incompetent or inadequate, we must speak up. And we can take courage from St. Paul in today's second reading. He has a very painful handicap, a thorn in the flesh that's been stopping him from preaching effectively. And he begged God to take away this affliction. That is why Paul says, I am content in my weakness and with the insults and hardship and persecution and the agony I go through for the sake of Christ Jesus. For it is when I am weak that I am strong. That is the voice of a true prophet. Each one of us, we are those fragile clay vessels. But those vessels are filled with the Holy Spirit. Let us not be too discouraged by any shortcoming. God wants us to be His instruments. And He stands with us. And He gives us what we need when we need it. Yes, being a prophet in our day and age is challenging. Just like in any age, they had their challenges. But we are called by our Lord with His help, by His anointing, to persevere, to be His presence and His voice in the world. Have a good Sunday, everyone.